From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Wade Menezes. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
A tremendous Tuesday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line Tuesday. Father Wade Menezes is in the house. We're talking faith, family, and fellowship. If you'd like to be part of the program, the number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985. And if you are indeed outside of North America, we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can always send us an email, openline@ewtn.com, or you can text your question, text the letters EWTN to 55000, wait for a response, text your first name and your question, message, and data rates may apply. I'm Jack Williams, Michael McCall producing the program. Your call screener and social media maven is Mr. Jeff Burson. So if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook Live, you can type a question into the chat window, and it may find its way to us by the end of the program. Our host is here every single Tuesday, live in studio, in living color, even though he's wearing black and white, Father Wade Menezes. How are you?
I'm doing great. Surprise, I am in the house today. And my strong Portuguese vocal cords are a nice 5 to 6 inches away from the microphone. Something new I just learned today.
We're going
to
make a radio personality out of you yet.
some things take time, like good
But you know what, Father Wade? Regardless of how close or far you are from the microphone, I'd like to think that we're still friends.
That's right. That's right. That's what we're going to talk about today is friendship, the Catholic teaching on good and holy friendships. And call us today. Tell us about that good and holy friendship that maybe you've had for years. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a non-family member. Maybe it's a childhood friend that you've had in your life for years, huh? So the Catholic teaching on friendship. Friendship is the reciprocal love that is in the best interest of the other. It's other-centered. It is thus not utilitarian in nature. In philosophical terms, a friend is a person whom one knows and loves well, and by whom one is known and loved for virtuous reasons. The biblical notion of friendship in the New Testament adds the feature of total selflessness after the example of Jesus Christ, whose love was generous, forgiving, and sought only the welfare of those whom he loved. The sharing of confidences is also part of the biblical understanding of friendship, as is seen in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, verse 15, when Jesus says, quote, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you," end quote. We can think here of agape, the most distinctively Christian form of love, according to C.S. Lewis, used by Christ to describe the love among the persons of the three divine persons in the Trinity. It is also the love he commanded his followers to have for one another in John 13, verses 34 and 35, when he says, quote, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another," end quote. This is totally selfless love, which seeks not one's own advantage, say in a utilitarian way, but only to benefit or share with another the constant good, and we could add the true and the beautiful, huh? According to C.S. Lewis in his 1960 book, The Four Loves, he talks about agape. He identifies it as unconditional God love. Eros, of course, is romantic love. Philia is friendship bond based primarily on shared common interests, values, or activities. So that's different from agape because, again, agape isn't based on such things. It's totally selfless in pursuance of the good, of the true, of the beautiful. And the storge, or the storge, the empathy bond, say, between parents and their children. So those are from C.S. Lewis. There's many different models of loves, but those are the traditional ones that come from the Greek school. Now, Jack, here's the great thing about friendship and the Catholic teaching on friendship is all we have to do is look to the companion saints, the male and female saints, female and female saints who were great, great friends. And it showed not only in their lives personally, but also in their apostolic works, their works of evangelization. So, for example, the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph, the spouses, the holy spouses at the Holy Family House and Home of Nazareth. How about our Lord Jesus Christ and the three siblings of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus? How about St. Augustine, and St. Monica? Here we have a child and parent relationship. How about St. Jerome and St. Paula, who were scholar friends? How about St. Francis and St. Clare? They were both single in the world and then consecrated singles in religious life. How about St. Benedict and St. Scholastica, who were siblings? So again, we have siblings, we have scholar friends, we have singles, we have a child and a parent, we have siblings.
Although their relationship was a little stormy.
Well, at different times in the New Testament, yes. But like, are you talking about Martha and Mary?
No, I'm talking about Benedict and Scholastica.
Oh, yes, especially when the storm hit that one night. That's a great story. How about Blessed Jordan of Saxony and Blessed Diana D'Angelo? They were Dominicans. And St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila, two great reforming saints. How about St. Martin de Porres and St. Rose of Lima, my own birthday patroness for August 23rd? Lovers of the poor and the disenfranchised.
From your home and native land. Well, no. She's from Peru.
Close.
Close.
How about St. Francis de Sales and St. Jane Frances de Chantel, writers and scholars? How about St. Vincent de Paul and St. Louise de Marillac, foundress of the Sisters of Charity and Lovers of the Poor? How about Father Jean-Baptiste Rozan, the founder of the Fathers of Mercy, and Sister Antoinette Sophie Desfontaines? Dear friends, those two were, who together founded the Daughters of St. Clotilde in France. St. John Bosco and St. Mary Mazzarello, foundress of the Salesian Sisters. How about St. Louis and St. Marie Beltrame, husband and wife? How about St. Louis and St. Zélie Martin, parents of St. Thérèse, again, a husband and wife? St. Claude La Colombière and St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, spiritual director and directee. There's an interesting relationship there. They were dear, dear friends. St. Thérèse and Father Maurice, the priest that St. Thérèse corresponded with by letter. How about St. Francis Xavier Cabrini and St. Catherine Drexel, dear foundress friends? It was St. Francis Xavier Cabrini who told Catherine Drexel, look, your order's growing by leaps and bounds. You better get to Rome to get it approved, or the Vatican's going to shut you down. And so Catherine took her friend's advice, and she went, and the Holy Father not only approved her order, but encouraged her to greater works in different countries even, and to spread out in the United States. St. Basil the Great and St. Gregory Nazianzen, both bishops and doctors of the Church. St. John Chrysostom and St. Olympias, dear friends. And St. Cajetan, a great Dominican saint, and Father Gian Pietro Caffara, the future Pope Paul IV. Together they founded the Order of the Theatines. So there you have it, some male and female companion saints who have gone down in Christian history for their authentic friendship and work of Christian evangelization. And just a few more notes here regarding friendship. If you get a chance, look at the lives especially of St. John Paul II and St. Thomas More. Both professionals, both scholars, both deeply involved in their work, and they never let their work prevent them from having friends. So again, Jesus Christ, the Savior, tells us, I have called you friends. Again, John 15:15. Friendship with Christ is the very purpose of the life of the Christian, as he is the way, the truth, and the life. As Jesus entered into his 3 years of public life, he called the 12 apostles, who were not only his closest disciples, but also his friends. He called them with all of their obvious defects. Any human person formed in the image of the Holy Trinity exists in relation to others and indeed is defined by his relationships with others. Friendship for a Christian can be an effective form of evangelization. Again, we see this in the lives of the saints. In this context, evangelization means simply sharing our relationship with Christ with our friends, cultivated through prayer, meditation on Holy Scripture, and living the sacraments and the sacramental life. Regarding John Paul II, I close with this. throughout his pontificate, both in the Vatican, at meals or in private audiences, and on his dozens of apostolic journeys, John Paul II, the late Karol Wojtyła, always made time for his personal friendships, some of them going back to his childhood and continuing through his years at university, seminary, as a priest, bishop, and cardinal. If there ever was a man like Thomas More who could claim that his work did not leave time for personal friendships, it is this Pope and St. Thomas More. Yet somehow John Paul II and Thomas More always found the time. They knew the value of good and holy friendship. So let us take our cue from the saints. Let us know the teachings of the church on friendship. And call us today here at Open Line Tuesday Live to tell us about that friend in your life, maybe more recently in your life, or maybe for many years in your life, a relative, a non-relative, an elementary school friend going back years ago. Tell us what you know about your friend and how close the two of you are.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. It's EWTN's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Menezes.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
That's right, 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. To the phones we go. First up today is Luann in Seattle, Washington, listening on our great affiliate there, Sacred Heart Radio. Luann, thanks so much for holding. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, and thank you for this program. It is so informative. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Well, thank you, Luann. We appreciate that.
Father, I have a question concerning the 33-day consecration to Joseph from Father Calloway. I had ordered all the books, and I had started into the program, I think, from EWTN. And then I found out that you have to have group participation. I think there's six groups that meet throughout and have discussions, and it sounds wonderful, but I have no access to groups because I'm 83 and I live in a living facility and assisted living facility. And I was wondering if you had any other recommendations. I think the answer would be no, but I was just wondering what your thoughts were.
Sure. Luann, again, thank you for your call. A great question, especially as we are still in the year of St. Joseph, which runs all the way through the Immaculate Conception Solemnity this coming December 8th of 2021. It is my understanding, having done the consecration myself individually and in reading the whole text of Father Calloway's consecration to St. Joseph, that you can do the consecration by yourself. It does not have to be done solely with a group. Doing it with a group is one of the options that Father Calloway gives, just like one can do the St. Louis de Montfort consecration with a group. But it does not have to be done in a group. You can do it individually. So the book makes that clear in the front of the text when he lays out the parameters of what the consecration is, what it entails, and how the readings bear out each day and in the different parts of the book. If you set aside just under a half hour each day, you should be able to get everything done that's required for each of the 33 days. It's a wonderful, wonderful text. I learned a lot about St. Joseph in history that I did not know before. Jack, I believe you and Jeanette also did the consecration.
We did, yeah, I was a little puzzled. I didn't remember there being a group requirement
group requirement, yeah. But he does talk about the ability to do it in a group in the back of the book is where the group section is laid out. But he talks about the ability to do it as a group at the beginning of the text as well as doing it individually. So it's a wonderful text, and I would add this, Luann. You say that you are in an assisted living facility. I ask this rhetorically, not expecting necessarily an answer back, but do you know of any Catholics that live in the facility there with you who are well enough that could carry out the consecration with you if your first hope is to do it as a group. If that is your first hope for the St. Joseph consecration, put some feelers out there to see if there's any fellow Catholics. And again, consecration to St. Joseph doesn't necessarily have to be done by a Catholic. They wouldn't be held bound to the requirement of, say, communion, because God never demands more from us than what we're able to give, and a non-Catholic isn't able to receive communion on the day of the consecration and whatnot. But remember, there might be Catholics or non-Catholics that want to do it with you, and I would especially look for the Catholics who would know about St. Joseph and devotion to him in the life of the Church, who would especially be excited about doing such a consecration. Your Protestant brethren in the assisted living facility may not understand such a concept of consecration to a saint like that, but a Catholic hopefully would, and even if they don't understand it immediately, they could grow into understanding it because of their Catholic roots. So if your first hope is to do it as a group, check to see if there's anybody there at your facility where you live who would be interested in doing it. If not, do it individually.
Does that help, Luann?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Thank you so much more.
Thank you. We appreciate your phone call today. 833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. Next stop is Littletown, Texas. Roberto is in the Republic of Texas listening on Guadalupe Radio. Roberto, thanks for calling. You're on with Father Wade.
Thank you for having me, and it's a wonderful ministry that you guys have. And I've had the pleasure of meeting Father Wade just before the pandemic here in Dallas at one of our churches.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you, Roberto, for your call today. We really appreciate it, and thank you for your listenership.
Oh, not a problem. It's my pleasure, sir. And, you know, based on the topic that you're all talking about, friendship, my best friend has always been my wife.
Oh, praise God.
We started dating when we were sophomores in high school. And so we had a very, very rocky relationship. But ultimately, you know, we decided, you know, we're going to get married and have 10 children and live a wonderful Catholic Christian life, you know. And so that's where it started. We'll be celebrating 48 years in 2 weeks.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise Congratulations. God, yes.
Thank you, sir. And she's always been there for me. And she's always called me, you're my best friend because you're the only one I can tell everything to. And so I would always tell her, well, I must confess, I married you because I'm going to get to heaven because of you.
Hey,
and
amen.
That's where it all started.
Amen. Amen. You know, one of the most beautiful wedding invitations I've ever seen had the beautiful script writing on the front, and it simply said, and I quoted this in Jack on Jean, and Jeanette's wedding when I gave the homily when I married them a few years ago. It simply said on the front of this wedding invitation of another couple that I had gone to their wedding as a concelebrant, it said, simply in quotes in the beautiful script writing, the main purpose of a sacramental marriage is to help get one another into heaven, end quote. The main purpose of a sacramental marriage is to help get one another into heaven. And that's what you just echoed, Roberto, when you told her, the real reason why I married you is because I need you to get me into heaven. So amen to that. Thank you for a great witness call, Roberto. We really appreciate it.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Next up is Rosemary in Kalamazoo, Michigan. That's Holy Family Radio Country. Rosemary, you are on with Father Wade Menezes.
Hello. I was calling in response to sharing with you about my friendship, which I call is my holy friendship with my best friend, Rose.
Praise
and
God.
I met Rose about 8 years ago, I think it was. And the funny thing is we're both named Rosemary. And we only met about 8 years ago. She goes by Rose, and I go by Rosie. And I arrived on her doorstep to be her husband's hospice aide.
Oh.
And having no idea that God actually probably saw like a perfect storm arriving, because Rose had been out of the church for about 32 years at the time.
Wow.
And I have never ventured away from my the Catholic Church, and so we just, you know, I started helping with her husband, and you know, found out I knew right away because there was a crucifix on her wall that there must have been somebody somewhere Catholic. And it's a pretty long story, so I'll make it short. But long story short, through the visiting of taking care of her husband, questions started, and Rose made a very emotional journey back to the Catholic Church. I couldn't find a holier friend now. I mean, we love our faith, and that's what keeps us so close in our friendship, because we thrive with our faith. We, and I introduce her as, you know, this is Rose, this is my holy friend, because we really believe it was a friendship put together by God.
Yeah, amen.
And she has since lost her husband, and, you know, so whenever we travel, we're looking for the cathedrals, we're looking for new churches, we're joining classes, and
beautiful.
We just, the call before, when the sacramental marriage helps each other get to heaven, I think in friendship also, I always tell Rose, I got to help you get to heaven, you got to help me get to heaven.
Yeah, amen.
And that's our friendship, you know, and it's truly based on our love of the Catholic faith.
Amen. Amen. Was Rosemary, was her husband a Catholic, and did he die in the graces of the church?
Well, that's the thing. Her husband married his first wife and became Catholic. He's 19 years old, I think she said. He became Catholic to marry his first wife. That sadly ended up in divorce. Rose was always a practicing Catholic, married her husband. And, you know, they continued, they baptized their children Catholic, but they continued because they couldn't receive the sacraments in time. They left and went to Fred's original Protestant church.
Okay.
And for the next 32 years, so as Fred was declining, he had early onset of Alzheimer's. As he was declining, she was no longer able to go to church, but she was getting pulled in a direction of, she always had, I mean, because she's one of 10 siblings, so her siblings were in the church, so whenever she'd go back home to St. Louis, you know, she had the nieces and nephews making their communion and the Catholic weddings and all that. So it wasn't far from her, but she removed herself for 32 years.
And it sounds like,
because Rose came back, Fred received, on his deathbed, he received the sacrament of the sick, of course, throughout it, and he received the apostolic blessing right before he passed.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah, it sounds like they never got married in the church because of his divorce from his first wife. It sounds like, and I could be wrong about this, but it sounds like he never pursued an annulment, or if he did, the annulment was rejected. And so he and his second wife, who is your friend, the two of them, for whatever reason, never married in the church, even though she herself, your friend, was a cradle Catholic, and he himself was a convert through the first wife. But the good news is, look how God brought everybody around full circle. He not only brought the convert, Fred, back into the graces of the church on his deathbed, but he welcomed back your friend back into the graces of the church through her friendship, having met you, the hospice aide for her husband, brought her back to the faith of her baptism as a child. So, you know, God's ways are not our ways, but if we are open to those graces, much, much can happen for a greater good, despite, you know, the sadness or the evils that seem to also be traipsing around. God can bring out much, much good out of a seemingly not good situation. So thank you, Rosemary, for such a great, great witness call as well. Thank you so much. Great calls today on friendships. Thank you so much.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Couple of open phone lines and plenty of time for your calls. Straight ahead, we'll talk to Sue in Hartville, Ohio, Kathy in San Antonio, Texas. And as I said, plenty of time for your phone calls today on Open Line Tuesday. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, I want a phone call from Father Wade's home of his heritage. I want a phone call from Portugal today at 1-205-271-2985.
Portugal or Modesto, California?
Yeah, well, you know.
Same thing.
Exactly. It's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade.
The This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Next up is Sue in Hartville, Ohio, listening on Living Bread Radio. Sue, you're on with Father Wade Menezes.
Hello there. I am Sue Gregory from Hartville, Ohio, which is a suburb of Canton, Ohio, home of Mother Angelica and
great.
Dr. Ray Garendi.
Well, great. Thanks,
well,
Sue.
One out of two ain't bad. Good job, Sue.
We always rib Father Ray around here, so you got to understand
You just ordained Dr. Ray.
Oh, yeah.
You said Father Ray.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dr. Ray.
Dr. Ray. Well, he is a good father.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Well, I'm calling about my friendship since 2006 with my dear friend in Eagle River, Alaska.
Oh, wow.
Her name's Marguerite Colhane. We've been prayer partners ever since then. And I always tell people that if you're going to get a prayer partner, try and get one in the same time zone.
Oh.
The 4 hours difference makes a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, it can make it a lot easier on both of you, that's for sure.
Yes, but we pray together, we read the Bible. She does great Bible studies. We read litanies together, novenas together. We do everything, you know, most of it over the phone. Occasionally she'll call me up and say, I have air miles, so I get to travel up with her, and then I go to her parish in Eagle River, St. Andrews. So it's been a wonderful prayer relationship.
Great.
There's nothing like having Blessed Virgin Mary says, say the rosary, and she and I both started because it was difficult saying a decade, let alone a whole rosary.
Right,
you know,
maybe
once a month I could get out a whole decade, a whole rosary. But, you know, but now, I mean, it's nothing to say two or three.
Now, how often do you both get together? And do you Skype? Do you do it just over the phone? How do you do it? Do you do it just...
Over the cell phone.
Okay.
And we do it just about every day. I mean, our goal is every day. But sometimes I'm traveling or she's traveling or I'm sick and she's sick. So, and usually when either of us is sick, the other one will call up or text and say, can you pray? And if the other one texts back and says, not today, then we take over and pray for both of us.
Oh, praise God. Good. Good. Well, and that's since 2006 or 2008, you said?
No, 2006.
2006. And how did the two of you meet?
My son was, he's retired Marine, but he was based at Elmendorf. They have a small Marine Corps group up there. And so that's where he was. And my husband was dying from sugar diabetes and Alzheimer's. So he says, hey, my brother and sister have helped take care of him all this time down in Ohio. Just come on up to Alaska. So for 2 years, we went up to Alaska, and he was sharp enough to be able to enjoy. I mean, he was definitely full of Alzheimer's, but he was still able to enjoy. He had enough knowledge left to know where he was, what he was doing, and have fun.
Praise God. Well, great,
yeah.
Great. And one question about being near Canton, Ohio. What was the name of the woman that Mother Angelica knew as a young girl who inspired her in her faith because of the woman's faith that has the little house there that you can visit?
The visionary. Yeah. If you hadn't asked me, I could have told you.
Her cause has been introduced at the diocesan level.
Yeah.
Have you been able to visit
Rhoda Wise?
Yeah, Rhoda Wise.
I go there a lot. I take a lot of people there to visit because they have a little room where you can have a documentary.
Okay.
A movie documentary.
Yes.
And so I take people, visitors to that come around, I take them down there because it's just amazing. And then I take them over to St. Raphael's Bookstore, which is part of the Living Bread Radio. And she, Barb Gaskell.
Our good friend Barb Gaskell runs that store for a long time.
Yes, well, now she has a museum
of
Mother Angelica.
Okay.
And it just keeps growing. It's just amazing. So So people are going both places now.
Well, praise God. Good, good, excellent. And again, her cause, Rhoda's cause, has been introduced at the diocesan level in its most preliminary form. So I've seen some material on her life, and it's quite fascinating. And I myself was able to visit that little house one time when I was passing through Ohio. I believe Mother Angelica was still living at the time, but of course was still in her state of being suffering from the stroke. So it was maybe 2 or 3 years before she died, but it was really something to see. So, well, Sue, thank you so much, and God bless you and your friend, and keep that long-distance friendship and prayer power going with one another. God bless you now.
833-288-EWTN, one open line for you at 833-288-3986. Next up is Kathy in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Kathy, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father Wade.
Hello, Kathy. So, thank you for your call.
Yeah, so I have an aunt who lives in another part of Texas, down in the south in Brownsville, and she had a question. She's in her late 80s, so she asked me, and I said, well, let me see if I can find out. So she has noticed that at Mass now, during the Eucharistic part, the priest will say, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," plural. She said it used to be singular, and takes away the sin of the world, referencing to original sin. And I'm just wondering why the change.
Yeah, it's not necessarily true as much as I know that the singular was in reference only to the original sin. He takes away all sin, even post-baptismal sin, which is committed, which we call actual sin or mortal sin or venial sin. The sacrament of baptism takes away the original sin, but we can still sin after baptism because of the effects, that's with an E, not an A, because of the effects of the original sin remain after baptism. So again, at baptism, the original sin is wiped away, but the effects of the original sin in the world remain. And what are those effects? Chiefly two: the darkening of the intellect and the weakening of the will. Again, the darkening of the human intellect and the weakening of the human will. So we can sin after baptism. Even after the original sin is wiped away from the soul at baptism, we can still commit actual sin, that is to say, a mortal sin or venial sin, or mortal sins in the plural, or venial sins in the plural. So he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, whether original sin or actual sin, mortal or venial. And so that is what we're honoring in the current translation of the third typical edition of the Roman Missal, which we use in our country here in the United States. So it was in the singular before, but it wasn't, to my knowledge, just in reference to the original sin, because he takes away more than the original sin. And thank God he does take away more than just the original sin, because again, the effects remain and we can still sin mortally or venially, that is to say, actually, an actual sin committed, even after we receive baptism. So I think that in the translation, to get that across better, the plural was put, I would venture to guess. Sin is one of those words where in the singular, it can mean many. In the plural, it obviously means many. So even in the singular translation of the old, before the third typical edition of the Roman Missal, when it was, it takes away the sin of the world, it still meant the plural, because again, it goes beyond just the original sin. So I'd say it's a better translation to encompass all sin, actual and original, and not that it was ever just about the original sin. So great question. Your mother's very perceptive in the difference of the change of translation. Thank you so much.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Next up is Dan in the great state of North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Dan, you're on with Father Wade.
Hello, guys.
Hello, Dan. Thank you so much for your call.
Yeah. So anyway, my story is I'm a convert. I was divorced twice. Moved back up to North Dakota, and my cousin told me I need to meet a friend of hers, and I said I'm not interested. And anyway. After 2 weeks of her pestering me, I finally went on a blind date, and I decided that, well, you know, why not give dating a try again? So we started dating, and she at that time she was a Lutheran, and she asked me why I was Catholic, and I told her, well, because it never changes. So I'll get back to that. Anyhow, I kept going to church, and she kind of went to hers, and then we decided to get married and went through the annulment process, which took quite a while. And we got married in the Catholic Church, and I didn't know marriage could be so good. She's my best friend, and
praise God.
Yeah, I don't know. I got a little nervous when I realized I was on the radio.
No, you're good, Dan. You're the second husband today to call to give witness that his wife is his best friend. Now, Jack, I don't know. There's no wives calling in saying that their husbands are their best friends. But hopefully a wife will call us in the next...
I don't think that's an accident.
Hopefully in the next, 10 or 12 minutes, we'll get a wife calling saying that her husband is her best friend. But, Dan, a great, great witness call. Thank you so much. You're the second gentleman who's called today as a married man saying that his wife is his best friend. You and your wife are both converts. It began with a blind date, you say, a blind date that you originally didn't want to go on, but you acquiesced to a friend who was asking you to go on it, so you went and met your future wife. So that's a great story in and of itself. So thank you so much, Dan, calling from North Dakota. We really appreciate it.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Next up is Carol in Dallas, Georgia, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. And Father Wade, I think Carol may be a descendant of the prophet Daniel.
Okay, let's...
Carol, you're Hello? On with Father Wade.
Hello, Carol.
Hello, Father. Oh, God bless you, Father, for all you do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. It's all God's work, and I thank the Fathers of Mercy and EWTN for allowing me to do this work.
Oh, and you just sound so full of the Lord and happiness every time I see you at Mass when you come to serve. But, well, Father, I want to tell you, the strangest thing happened. I had a dream about you, and I just don't dream about priests.
Okay, well, what you're about to say, can you say it on the air? Or should you?
Yes. Okay. I know you come from Kentucky. And somehow I was out in the country, and I happened to look to the right, and you were out like in a field of all this beautiful green grass, and alongside you was a waterfall coming down.
Wow.
And I thought, oh my goodness, that's Father Wade. He must be in distress. And the closer I got, you were sitting there praising the Lord.
Well, amen. Amen. I hope that in even bad predictments, I can praise the Lord. If nothing else, asking him why he's permitted this to happen to me, like a flat tire. But
what I was thinking. I thought I better call maybe something coming up, you know, a flat tire or something.
Well, who knows? Who knows? But I thank you for sharing that. And, you know, one thing I do like to tell my listeners when I'm preaching, especially at the parish missions that I preach live, I like to tell the people, when something adverse happens, it can be something as mundane as a flat tire on a busy interstate. And that's one of the examples that I give frequently. I said, to finding out that you or a loved one has a terminal illness, how are you going to respond to that? Where is God in that situation? Where is God in that predicament? How can we take this and see a good in it and bring a good out of it? God never lets an evil, whether a moral or physical evil, happen unless he can bring a greater good out of it. He doesn't cause evil, moral or physical. He doesn't cause moral evils. He doesn't cause physical evils. But in his mysterious providence, he does permit them to happen. And here's the thing, and Jeanette is very big about this. He never permits them to happen unless he can bring a greater good out of them. And so whatever the situation is, we want to be able to bring good out of it.
That's just Thomas Aquinas. That's not Jeanette.
Well, but Jeanette does say it frequently. I've heard her say
it. Yeah, but she says, Thomas Aquinas says there's only two reasons for evil. One, that to prevent a greater evil from happening, or a greater good that would come out that wouldn't have happened had the evil not taken place.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So that's what we want to stay focused on. Thank you so much for your call.
All right, there's your dream. You've been warned.
Yeah.
833-288-EWTN.
Watch me get a flat this evening on the way back to
Hansville. That's what I'm saying. You've been warned. Ed is next up. He is in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Ed, you are on with Father Wade.
Hello, fellas. Hello, Father. Thank you for my call.
You're welcome, Ed. Thank you.
Father, I'll be the third husband. My wife's my best friend, too.
Oh, praise God.
Thank you. She's been a real trooper. We're in business together, and my son is helping us now. And as you know, construction business can be up and down and very, very trying, but she's been with me through thick and thin from high school days till now, and I think it's like 34 years, Father.
Oh, amen. Wait. What do you mean you think it's like 34 years? Buddy, you better know exactly how many years it is.
This is why the wives don't call and say their husbands are their best friends.
Yeah, she might not think the same way, but that's for sure. I really wanted to, I just said that because I just heard you say two other guys called in. So,
well, we really appreciate your call.
Thank you. And I want to just tell you, if I could, a little story about my best friend, who's a childhood friend.
Amen.
Who lives in Florida. Steve is his name. He was my best man and I his for our weddings. And we've been close ever since my wife was his wife's maid of honor and so on. And
sure.
Her with my wife. So we've been tight and close ever since through thick and thin. But the story I wanted to tell you was my mother was dying in Florida, in Venice, Florida, and my mom and dad, after dad retired from the masonry business we have, they'd go to Florida in their RV. Long story short, she was dying, and my dad was in shock. He was telling us, you know, her vitals were good, but that was kind of from the machines. And my mom was a registered nurse. She knew that she wasn't well from breast cancer and COPD. My best friend Steve and his wife were proxy me and Jean Ann there with my mom, and he's the one who got me to get my brothers and get on the plane and go down with her. And we saw miracle after miracle with my mom recovering, and then she passed. But you don't get too many good friends like that, buddy, who will do that for you.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Great. And you said you've known this gentleman since you guys were both in elementary school age, right?
Yeah, I'm 59. Steve just turned 60, so we grew up together from his mom being our Cub Scout den master to football to
great.
High school to teenager to confession at St. Mary's with Father Doherty, and getting our ears twisted here and there, let me tell you. But
class of 1980.
You know, it's so funny. Yeah, class of 1980. And it's so funny how God works out all these things. Steve was there for me, and because of my mother's illness and being in a assisted living and then passing on, I kind of wanted to become a Eucharistic minister. Not to go in front of the church like you do, Father, or anybody else.
Sure.
God bless those people. I just wanted to bring it to the nursing homes. So now, my mom died in 2002, so now, 19 years later, I'm able to bring Steve's mom communion because
wow.
She now resides with his sister, and she's struggling. So
Wow.
It's amazing stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know all about it, but when I think about it, it's like a big circle. So
I was just going to say, it's another example of God bringing everything around full circle. You just took the words out of my mouth. I used that phrase earlier with the previous caller. It's true. It's true. All we need to do is be open to it, and God can do amazing things. Ed, thank you so much for your call today from Newcastle, Pennsylvania. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you for your listenership, and be sure to call again sometime. God bless you now.
Couple of brand new offerings from EWTN Publishing this month, Living the Scriptures by Mother Angelica. This is kind of a compilation of some of her best on-air presentations, as well as some of her meditations, and you're going to figure out that Scripture is not just for biblical scholars, but it's a divine guide for our everyday spiritual life. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume by Cardinal Fernando Filoni. He's the Grand Master of the Equestrian Order of the Knights of the Holy Sepulchre of Jerusalem, and he shares and reflects on some of the beliefs and values that guide the lives of the Knights and Doms of that order. So they're both available for you today at EWTN's Religious Catalog. That's EWTNRC.com. Next up is Susan in Melbourne, Florida. She's listening on Divine Mercy Radio. Susan, you're on with Father Wade.
Hey, I'm so glad to be on. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Susan. Thank you for your call today from Melbourne, Florida.
Yes, yes. Well, as it turns out, I'm a convert, and I've actually only been a convert for like 7 years. And I must thank EWTN because I have learned so much by listening to the radio.
Mm.
I mean, it is absolutely amazing how much can be learned from just listening to the radio.
Yeah.
And my story is that, like I say, I'm a convert of not that many years, and I became a sponsor to a woman who was coming into the church about 5 years ago, and that was a very nice relationship, and I'm happy to say she's still coming to church all the time. But, you know, it occurred to me at some point that it would really be nice if each of us had, you know, more of a relationship with somebody who was a cradle Catholic, because there's things you learn from the cradle Catholics that you just can't learn from another convert. So, long story short, I became friends with a lady who was doing coffee and donuts at the church before the lockdown. And during the lockdown, we just started going out for walks.
Great. And is she a cradle Catholic, this woman you're referring to?
She is indeed. She's
great.
She is the seventh of seven.
Okay.
And all has a bunch of older brothers and sisters, some of which knew the Mass before the changes from Vatican II. So,
right.
I get to hear her stories of growing up in that family, and it's really wonderful.
Well, great.
And about the same time, the lady that takes all the phone calls and prays, you know, she runs a prayer line and prays for everybody in the church. She and the lady I sponsored became friends. So,
well, great.
She got her big sister in the faith at about the same time.
And her sister in the faith is also a cradle Catholic, I presume.
That is correct.
So your wish for both of you who were converts in recent years, under 10 years each, I think you said you were about 7 years ago, your prayer was answered for both of you, and that you both met cradle Catholics and became great friends, and this through your own parish life and being actively involved in your parish life, and mind you, even amidst the lockdown.
Yeah.
So again,
isn't that amazing?
Again, if we're open and don't get in God's way, I think it was Flannery O'Connor who said, God can accomplish more in our lives if we just shut up and get out of his way. So that's just a great, great witness. Thank you so much for that story. It's a great one.
Quickly, we'll head to Stephen in Akron, Ohio, listening on Living Bread Radio. You're number one in Eastern Ohio today. Stephen, you're on with Father Wade.
Hey, guys. Good to connect with you.
Thank you, Stephen.
Just wanted to share a story about a friendship in Christ that I have with my friend Matthew. We actually just met about 2.5-3 years ago through a mutual friend who was a priest. Unfortunately, we don't have that relationship anymore, but Matt and I's relationship has continued. And, it's just been a real blessing. I never really had a friend like that. I will say, of course, my wife is also very Catholic, and I would say she's my best female friend, I guess we can
say. Great.
But,
wonderful.
My buddy Matt, though, through COVID, we stayed in touch, texting and talking, and just recently got to reconnect with him this past week. And, he's been through atheism, agnosticism, Protestantism. Now, he's back into his Catholic faith, which he was baptized as an infant. But we just always, build each other up and support each other through some various trials. And I'm currently a Catholic therapist. He's currently studying counseling, so we're planning a future even with a faith-based practice.
And, oh, fantastic.
It's really been a great journey just meeting him, especially as we're both in our early 30s, and it's not always easy to make friends as an adult. So it's been nice to, just really blessed to have him in my life.
Well, that's great. Great. Thank you so much, Stephen, for that witness call about your friend Matthew. Thank you so much. And it is important. And I'd like to give a shout out today to a friend of mine, Vincent, who is a former guard at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament. And I visited he and his wife, Mary, last night and their two sons. And I blessed their house there in Hansville, in the same town that the shrine's in. So one more home in Hansville is Catholic blessed. Amen.
So, Father, would you leave us with a blessing?
I certainly will. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Open Line Tuesday listeners and remain with each and every one of you this day and always. St. Joseph, terror of demons.
Pray for us. On behalf of our host, Father Wade Menezes, our producer, Michael McCall, and our call screener and social media maven, Mr. Jeff Burson, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line Tuesday. Back at it again tomorrow with Father Mitch. It's Father Mitch's birthday today. So call with your birthday greetings tomorrow on EWTN's Open Line Wednesday. Until then, God bless.